John chapter 20. And he's speaking what this is speaking about. It's speaking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we know that at his birth, Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes. We know that. We know that she had kept him close to her. And that one time when they was out just walking, and he was behind Mary and Joseph, and she turned around and looked, and they couldn't find him. He was gone then, but he was gone to the synagogue to listen to the priest. And as we know, that it took 3 days for Mary and Joseph to be able to find him, which we know that the number three, it represents the resurrection. But here we see where not only was we there, I mean, we weren't there, but we can go back and we can read the scripture where it takes us back so many years ago with the birth of our Lord and Savior. But then after that, we see where he had walked on the face of this earth. And he had done many wonders and many miracles. And he had raised the dead. And he had opened blinded eyes. And he had healed the lame. But here today, we are celebrating a little over 2,000 years ago, the resurrection of our Savior. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was on the first day of the week. And said, Mary Magdalene, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, she and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. That's verse 1 in the chapter 20 in the book of John. And verse 2 says, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. This other disciple right here was John. And he saith, unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they lay him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre. And he saw and he believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own house. We have come to the place in Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ, he has been wrapped at his birth. He was lying there in a manger, in the hog, in the manger where they fed the animals, and with the odor that was going around there, and all of that. But they wrapped him. Why was he placed there in that manger? Why was he placed there? And why did they go to a cow stall or an animal stall? Why? See, they stopped at the inn before that. But see, God the Father knew that he would not be born in a motel, a hotel, or a mansion, or anything like that, or a house, and be laying in a comfortable, Mary be laying in a comfortable bed to give birth to the Savior. No, he had to go to the lowest point. He had to go and be laid where the cattle had been in and had fed there and had eaten the grain. And not only that, where the cattle would come in and they would go to the water trough and they could get their thirst quenched there also. But we've come all that far for 33 and one-third years he walked on the face of this earth. Then the Father says, "Son, now it's time." And as his Father said, "Now, Son, it's your turn now. It's your time." And the Lord Jesus, he never did ask the Father, "What is it must I do?" He didn't say that to God. He knew what his orders were. He knew what his obligation was to the Father. He knew that he would go through Palm Sunday, where he would ride the mule in, and they'd be waving their palm leaves and all of that around him. But then that they would end up getting to the bottom of the hill of Golgotha, and as they was at the bottom of that hill, he looked up and he knew that's exactly where he was headed. And once he had started up Golgotha's hill that day, he had the cross on his back. He was dragging the cross that he was going to be crucified on. Who was on that cross? On that cross that day was the sin of the world. The sin of humanity was on that cross that day. And it's the sin that weighed him down. Yes. Then I believe it was Peter that took up, and he took him up, and he helped him with the cross the rest of the way. Helped him. Rest of the way. And as the disciple was helping the Lord Jesus with the cross and going up that hill, he did not turn to the disciple and say, "Would you please take this cross? Would you please allow me to go back down the bottom of the hill because this cross is getting awful heavy?" He didn't say that to the disciples. He was just asking the disciples just to help him to make it all the way. All the way to the cross. Then when he hung there, when they nailed him to that cross that day, and when he hung there, Over in the book of Deuteronomy, it says that where there will be no more bones broken. After the bones that was, after the legs of the individuals was broken, of the two thieves that was on the cross, that was it. That done away with it. There was no other bones that was going to be broken. The Lord Jesus Christ was not going to be dangling there in an hour where his legs had been broken. No, he was pushing up. He was pushing up with his legs and with his feet, trying to get some of the agony off of him as his inside and everything was being stretched that day. But they nailed him to the cross. They planted the crowns on his head. And after they nailed his both arms to the cross, hands to the cross, then he come by. They come by and they took his feet, took both of his legs now. They weren't going to break his leg, but they took them and they crossed his legs. They crossed them in a way to where he would have one foot on top of the other foot. And what did they do? They took a spike. They took one of the nails that they had there and they drove it into his both of his feet, nailed him to the cross. Why did they do that? They done that because they did not want him to push up. Because see, before then, see what he was doing. That's the reason you always seen and you always see today talking about a little a shelf there. That's what that was for. For him to be able to push up. Take some of the strain off of his body. And straight take some of the pain that he was suffering. But then they nailed him to the cross. Both hands and his feet. Put the crown on his head. And they weren't satisfied with that. Have you ever known of anybody that's ever been satisfied with anything that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ? No, they're not satisfied with nothing. They want this. They want that. They want a better job where they can make more money. And hey, it's nothing wrong with making more money. It's not nothing wrong with wanting to change job. But what is wrong is the evil of that dollar. It's what we take that dollar and the way we use it. If we don't take the 10% out of what we've given, what the Lord Jesus Christ has given us 100%. And if we cannot give him back 10%, and if we can't give above that, we can't give him the offering. They want more. They're greedy. They want more. They got to have more. Just like it's been a while back, about a month or two ago, I was telling y'all and I was saying something to y'all about an individual that I met him there in a food line at Southwick Farms. And I used to go to church with him. And he come up and asked me, he said, "Preacher, he's on to ask you something." I said, "What?" I said, "Well, if I can answer it, I'll try to give you an answer. If I can't, I'll try to find one and I'll call you." He said, "All right." He says, "I know of an individual that he's in his 40s now. That he got saved about probably 10 or 15 years ago. He was always there in church. He was always there on visitation. He was outgoing and inviting people to church. Then something went wrong, and he, to this day, he couldn't even figure out what went wrong. And he was a deacon, but something went wrong there in the church. I know somebody said something, and or he overheard something, that, you know, about him or his family. I don't know what it was. He didn't either. And he says, "Preacher," he said, "I'm second guessing myself." He says, "How can an individual be saved and be there for God and doing God's work and helping the church?" The church was growing. New people was coming in. But yet something happened and he got out of church. Says to this day, I don't even know. The pastor don't even know. He wouldn't tell nobody. He said, "How can an individual be in church and say that they're a Christian, but yet everything that they do now is not Christian-like?" He says, he's got plenty of money. It's not the money. He's got plenty of money. You can go to him anytime you want to. During the day, at night, whenever. What day of the week, it don't make no difference. And I will guarantee you, if I was a betting man, I'd bet you $1 against $1,000 that he would have at least $500 to $1,000 in his billfold. Any given time. He said, when I hit him, bought him a new home. He's got new automobiles. Now he just bought him a brand new boat, a fishing boat. Says, "I see no evidence of anything about Christianity at all." I said, "Well, I go back to the book of Hebrews. And what's the word chastisement means? The chastisement means correction. God will bring chastisement on the one that does everything they can to destroy him. And claiming that they're Christian, but yet something happened and they got out of church. Now, they don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray anymore. I says, if you do not see anything in his life change, if you don't see any chastisement to come, I'm talking about the wrath of God that's coming down on him, then you need to pray for it. I also need to pray for, because I don't see how an individual can be saved and God allow them to continue to be here. I can't see it. I mean, like I said, I'm not the judge. And I sure am thankful for that. But that's what Scripture tells me. And I'm just, as I say sometimes myself, I'm just a mailman. You have a good evening.
We're going to be praying for you. And one of these days you're going to come in and say, "Hallelujah."
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you, I just don't see how people can do the things of the world, the worldly things, and call themselves a Christian. I can't see it. I mean, go out in public and do it openly. And then claim that they're Christian. That's the reason the church is in the shape it's in. That's the reason we don't have people coming to church. Because we got the people out here. Yeah? They know that they need to be in church. They know the life that they're living is not right. But yet, they don't see no desire. They don't see no desire of helping their own selves. We know the Lord is there. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's always been there from the beginning of time. He just wants us to recognize who He is. And if I cannot, being a Christian, if I cannot recognize in whom He is, then my Christianity is just a word. And what does people say more today? You don't hear many people say anything about Christianity. You don't hear people say a whole lot of things about being a Christian. But what you hear is that, hey, that individual, he's got religion. Well, if I got religion, I'm going to die and go to hell. I'm just telling you like what the book says, religion, that's what's going to send majority of the people to hell, is the religion that they are putting our trust in. I'm not putting my trust in some man-made religion. I'm not putting my trust in this church. I'm not putting my trust in what I do every day. I'm putting my trust in Him and Him only. Him and Him only. We know that not only was He going around teaching individuals, not only we know that He was going around teaching the disciples and what they must do. But think about that now. The disciples is like a whole lot of church members that we have today. A whole lot of individuals that say that, yes, that they're Christian, but yet don't never come to God's house. Never want to promote anything that is thinking about God. They don't want to say anything that they have seen something in God's Word that stirred their heart and stirred their soul. Every time I get in here and I read something, it stirs me up to where I want to be more like Him. Why? Because it's what He's teaching me. That's what He's teaching me to be like, is be like Him. I know that I'll never be completely like Him. I know that. I will not never be completely like Him until my feet leaves this earth. And I ain't talking about just going to the grave and then putting my body in a grave. I'm not talking about that. I won't even be anywhere even close to what He is when my body goes to the grave. Only time that I'm going to ever be to the point that I'm going to be like Him, because that's what we're supposed to strive for, We're supposed to strive for what? Perfection. For maturity. That's what we're supposed to strive for. And I cannot strive for that. Laying there in the grave. Why? I don't have nothing to do. Well, can somebody say something good about you? Give a testimony about the way you live for God? About the way that you wouldn't change God's word? Yeah. But see, the thing about it is, with that comes time. And when time passes, we have a tendency to forget. We don't forget about the individual because the individual is always with us. But we have a tendency of not listening to people and what they say. Because now I got a grandmother. She's there in heaven today. I got a grandfather. I got another grandmother. All of them in heaven today. I have a stepfather there in heaven. I have a brother there in heaven. A blood brother in heaven. Why? Because of prayer. Because my grandmother prayed for them. And my grandmother prayed for me. And I also have a mother-in-law. I have a father-in-law also there. And they prayed for me. I know that they prayed for me. I know that. See, that's something that I can cherish. I can hold on to. See, there's some people, they can't even hold on to anything at all like that because of the life that they lived. Now, I don't mention anything about my first 30 years of my life because the first 30 years of my life, I was lost. I was on the way to hell. But I'm so thankful that the only way that I could ever get saved is go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says right here in the last three verses here, and I'm going to quit with this. It says right here in verse 7, says, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Had a napkin that covered his face. That was the tradition of that time. Because we know about Lazarus, when Lazarus there, when he come forth out of the grave, when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth, and when he came forth, what did you see? And what did they see at that time? They saw an individual there that was wrapped. From his foot to the top of his head. The only thing that they could see was probably a little slit there for his eyes or something. I don't even know if I can see that or not. But he was wrapped. But Jesus says, now you need to be unwrapped now. Because you're going to do some things that I'm going to want you to do. That napkin represents a whole lot more than I can ever say this morning. That napkin means the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's leaving the Father's side, which you know He's at right hand of God the Father today. But He's going to be leaving the Father's side. And the Father don't ask Him where He's going. His Father don't even asked Him to go, but He knew He had to go. And when He left to the Father's side, He'd went as far as the cloud was there in heaven. And see, the angel there in heaven, Michael, he was already standing there. He already had his trumpet there. He was just waiting on the call. He was just waiting for the commander-in-chief to give the order. But see, he knew that the commander-in-chief, that God the Father, was not going to give the order until His Son was right beside His side. And when His Son come and He stood on the cloud with the angel, I don't believe it's not going to be. I know sometimes we thinking that maybe Jesus Christ is right there on the cloud and the angel's got the trumpet to His lips and everything and He's getting ready to blow the trumpet. Now, I don't think, I shouldn't have said that when I said it. But I don't think that is all that true. I believe that the angel there is standing there on the cloud. And I believe the Son of God is standing there on the cloud with Him. But I don't think the angel has the trumpet to His lips. Because see, it's not going to take that much time for Him to be able to place that trumpet, the mouthpiece there upon His lips when He blows it. That He's going to be able to blow it. And it's right before He blows it, I believe we know that something's about ready to happen. Something is about ready to take place that we have never experienced before. What is that? I don't know. It could be maybe some people may start coming to church. Maybe some people that we've invited and we haven't seen them in a while. Maybe somebody that I invited here a couple of years ago, but I haven't seen them. Don't even know where to live at today. But see, God can bring back the very words that I say and the very words that you said to them, the ones that you visited and you invited to church. Until that time comes, we don't know what's going to happen. But I do believe this. I do believe there's other people like that need to be saved before He comes back after me and you. And I could be totally wrong about that, because He could just as well come back today. He could just as well, before I even finish my next thought, call us all home. But see, He was unwrapped that day. when they took the napkin from his forehead and from his face, he took that napkin and he folded that napkin perfectly. And he laid it over here.
Then the linen clothes that had been wearing, he unwrapped his own self. He come out from among them like a butterfly comes from the cocoon. Just like that, he come out. And you could see the print of where the linen clothes lie. But see, it was separate from the napkin. But see, then Mary and Peter and John, they come. And they said, and Mary says, they've stole him and they've put him in a place that where they will not tell us. No, they didn't steal him. Let me tell you why. Because they could not even roll the stone away. All the men that they had, all the soldiers that they had, and if they had horses there, they couldn't even move the stone. If you go back and you'll search that stone out, you'll see where, back in the Old Testament and the New Testament, where it all come from. Where in the Old Testament, where it come from into the New Testament, where the stone could not be moved. It could not be moved by nobody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he came out of that linen clothes there, and he had that napkin laid right here, and had the linen clothes right here. What happened then? The stone was rolled away. He did not even touch the stone. But the stone rolled away. All he had to do was thank it. The stone was rolled away. For him just to walk out. But see, then when he did come out, after the stone had been rolled away, he saw the other soldiers that had placed him there. They was on guard because they didn't want nobody to come in and rob him. They didn't want nobody to come in and take the stone away and rob him from the grave. That day that he laid there, and then he rise, then he rose from the dead. Who did he rise for the dead for? For me? For you? For humanity? He rose from the dead for the whole wide world. To where the little children they're seeing. He's got the whole wide world in the palm of his hands. And that's not no myth or just a roundabout song. That is the truth. That is the truth from God's word. But I'm so thankful that he was unwrapped that day for me. I'm so thankful that he was unwrapped that day for you. I'm so thankful that one time, sometime in your life, you realize that
And you understood the only way that you'll ever get any kind of peace is through the Prince of Peace. And Donald Trump said something this week that I have never heard another president ever say. Matter of fact, I've never heard any congressman or senator or any of the people up there ever say it. But somebody there was talking about what was happening over there in Russia, in North Korea and everything. And they getting ready to, North Korea is getting ready to send another one of their atomic bombs to the United States, and it's going to be pointed right to us. And Donald Trump says, I don't understand people. They call him for peace. That they want peace and they want harmony around the world. There's not going to be no peace around the world. There's not going to be no harmony around the world until the Prince of Peace comes back. I've heard more about God, and I've heard more about Jesus Christ from this president than I have with all the last 30 or 40 or 50 we've had. He knows him. He knows who he is. I honestly believe that. Because I just do not believe an individual can come up and say the things that he said and he doesn't believe it. I'm thankful that we serve a God of second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. I'm thankful that we serve a God that he's just not of one chance or two, but he's a God of many chances. Until we get to the point that we don't want to hear anything about him at all. And yes, the last chance will come about. And if we do not heed upon that chance, then he will never speak to us again. That's what the Bible teaches. I'm not preaching, I'm not talking about somebody that I don't even know. I know him. I need your prayers. I really do. There's nothing going on in my health or nothing. I just need your prayers. And I promise you, if you pray for me, I'll pray for you. See, one thing about it, we can be in constant prayer. We don't have to always bow our head. We don't have to always close our eyes. See, all of that is man-made. Only thing he wants us to do is come to him and talk to him. Just like I'm speaking to you now, that's what he wants from us. He wants us to go and just talk to him. And he wants to hear from other people too. That it's been many, many, many moons ago since he's heard anything from them. And today, the only chance that he will ever hear anything about them and about their life and what they're doing is through the people, through the Christian that's in church, through the Christian that wants a better life for the individual. Yes, and we all have the answer for it. We have the answer for what they're looking for. They don't have to put it in no religious form. They don't have to put it in the Baptist, in the Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. I don't have to do that. I don't even have to put it in the Methodist Church. Even the people that goes to the Methodist, they don't have to put it in the Methodist hands. The wholeness, they don't even have to put it in the wholeness hands. These churches, they want to depend on the church that they're in, the church that they're affiliated with. They want to put it in their hands. That they know more, they know what's better for my life than I do. No, they don't. They don't. Individuals in a church that loves the Lord, they know what you need. But as far as the churches at a whole, we don't need to look to no church. We need to look to the true church. That's Jesus Christ. See, people today look at the church today, and I'm going to close with this, I promise. I know you like, you got a little grin on his face. Because I know. But no, really. But I just want something better for the people. That's what my desire is, to see where they can have a better life. That they don't have to worry about this church or that church or who they're affiliated with. They can just worry about, are they satisfying Jesus? Are they satisfying Him? Are they ashamed of Him? A lot of people don't even talk about Him. Why? Because they're ashamed of Him. I believe that. I honestly believe that they're ashamed of Him. Because they don't know say anything about Him. They don't ever even say anything about how He's blessed them. But I know one thing. See, they'll never recognize that. They will never consider His blessings upon their life. And they'll never come, they'll never recognize. But I can guarantee you, and I use that word lightly, but today I'm going to use it as strong as I can use it. I can guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, that I can go out here and I can visit somebody that they've told me before that they know that they need to be in church. But where are they? They're not in church. See, they won't trust me. They won't believe in what I say. They won't trust Jesus and they won't believe in what He says. But then somebody can go to them and say, if you'll go right up the road up here and if you'll buy one of them tickets up here to where they got that truck up here, they're going to give away. It's not, I mean, it ain't but $200. You can go back and spend $200 and you could probably win a $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 truck. Or you can go ahead and spend a dollar and say, you go spend that dollar, you can, on a lottery ticket, and you can go ahead and you can win.
$30 or $40 million. What would they do? They'd go out there and spend that dollar, wouldn't they? They'd go out there and spend that dollar for that one chance. For the $30 or $40 million. They'll go ahead and spend $200 to where they can win that $30,000 or $40,000 truck. And 9 times out of 10, they're not going to win either one of them. But I can go to them and I can offer them something that is completely free. See, they don't want nothing free. And we may have to go about and say, hey, it's going to cost you a lot. See, we know it's free. Everything He's done for us. And I'm so thankful for that. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. And we thank You, Father, for what it represents. And Lord, that we can just go back and we can just reminisce over the times that we've been there. And the times that You've been there for us, Father. But Lord, we do thank You that we can come to Thee for our every care, our every burden, Father. And You're the only one that can take care of the cares and the burdens that we have today upon our hearts. Now Lord, I just ask, Father, You'll be with each one of these individuals, Father, that was so graciously took Thy time out this morning, Father, to follow You here to this church, to Faith Baptist Church. And Father, in what they have endured, Father, and Father, in what I have preached, I pray, Father, that what I have preached this morning, Lord Jesus, that You can be able to take it and You can put it in the right sentence, the right paragraph, to Father, where they can understand it better. Because I know, Father, sometimes I get to rambling. But when I get to rambling, Father, I know that when I am rambling, and to me it's not rambling, but some people it is, I just love Your word. I love You, Father. And Father, help this church, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.